the guy is flat out wired, but he's got some big shoes to fill today. Danny, do you have any idea who we had on in the 2 o'clock hour?
Well, I'm guessing he might be traded today. No, sorry, George. No, I've been pretty dialed in, to be honest with you, the day before the deadline, so I didn't get a chance to listen. But I'm hoping he goes to his left better than I do.
Former Houston Oiler head coach Jerry Glanville.
Well, I'll take him on one-on-one. I think I can beat him because he's older than me.
He is. He's 80.
That's a pretty formidable opponent.
Yeah. So, Danny, let's start with this. Talk to us about what's really going on between the Mets and Kumar Rocker.
I'll tell you, George, this is the timing is inexplicably terrible for everybody involved, because with the deadline being tomorrow and the Rocker situation being what it is, at least what we think it is, because we really don't know, it's really pulling the parties away at a difficult time, at a compromising time. George, I only know what I'm reading because obviously only a few people are really aware of what's going on. But from the looks of things, an abnormality of some type showed up on the physical, which does happen occasionally. And an agreement of a free agent or of a drafted player is contingent upon the player passing a physical. So what's likely going on right now is Rocker's advisors, the Boris Corporation, and the Mets are trying to come to an agreement that makes sense for both sides, a compromise, or Rocker goes back into the draft and the Mets will pick up, I believe, the 11th pick in next year's draft. And it can be, it can be a difference of opinion. But the problem really becomes, George, is that the Mets' physician is the physician who matters the most for the agreement. Obviously, when the Mets selected him, they thought him to be healthy. You know, there was some speculation about velocity here and there, but you'd be surprised any time a pitcher goes in for an issue. There's always a chance that there's something in there that you don't know about. For the young man, I hope he's okay, and I hope they can reach an agreement with him so he can start his professional career. But if not, it's going to be a concern by the Mets medical people that he can't pitch to the level that they believe he can.
Okay, first of all, if the Mets say no deal, does that give him no choice but to go back to Vandy?
Yeah, he's under their control as a big league under control guy. He cannot, there's a termination or this deadline where players can no longer be signed. I believe it's this upcoming weekend. And when that occurs, George, he can't sign with another big league organization. He could go play independent ball and then be ready for the draft next July. But the hardest part about this for the player is the player only really has one option when it comes to playing in 21, and that would be with the Mets organization.
How similar is this to R.A. Dickey's deal with the Rangers years ago?
Yeah, that's a great call, George. It's obviously, I don't think Dickey ever had the talent level that Rocker does, but it's close. A lot of people think of him as a knuckleballer, but he was a real hard thrower when he was coming out of college. Had some problems, became a knuckleballer as a result. But this did occur a few years ago with an Arizona first-round draft pick. It's happened occasionally in the past. Abnormalities being what they are, your medical people are on alert to go see the guy. For me, here's the thing. There's some really talented people on both sides of this equation. The Mets people with Sandy Alderson are experienced and they're terrific people. An owner who is not known for being cheap is a very reasonable man. And in Boris's corporation case, one of the best, if not the best, agent in the game. And that's why a player hires somebody of his caliber for this sort of issue. When I was an agent in the amateur, dealing with the amateur ranks 10 years ago, George, this was always a concern because you just don't know until you go in with an MRI. And this is, you know, today's technology shows things that things didn't show up 10 to 15 years ago. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. But I really root for the kid, and I hope it can all work out because the shelf life of a pitcher is only so long. I hope this can get remedied, and he goes out and starts his career.
Okay, Danny, on to the Braves. They won today, and to me, it's a huge swing deal because at this point in the year, the difference between being out by four and being down six, to me, is huge. My own gut feeling is the Mets aren't that good. The Mets are very gettable. They don't score enough runs unless Alonso goes crazy. So if you're Alex Anthopoulos, did the win today maybe say to him, stronger, I am really going to go for it?
George, you know, this is a really interesting situation. I've been in this situation on both sides of the equal sign. For me, that win today, four out, a game under 500, yeah, I'm in. And I'm in for the very reason that you said. The Mets are not only gettable, but the Mets are flawed. I was looking at something last night because I was trying to figure out what's happened to the Braves. And for me, it's offense. You know, they're down more than a run a game. And I took a look at their batting average and their slugging percentage. And, you know, their batting average is the second biggest decline from last year. Their slugging decline is the fourth largest in baseball. But you know what's interesting, George? The Mets, in both cases, have worse declines. And that, last night, told me they'd go get them. What's really interesting is the entire NL East is down in batting average and down in slugging percentage. And here's a Braves team that has had a dramatic decline in offense while their pitching has really slightly improved and is better within the group. So I look at this and I say, despite the loss of Acuna, despite the loss of Soroka and Ozuna, this reminds me of when I was with the Blue Jays and we were chasing the Yankees. They were seven games ahead of us at the deadline, and we thought that we could catch them and pass them. And Alex was the GM, and he was really aggressive. We made seven trades in 2 days, and we overtook the Yankees, and we got to the LCS. My guess, I know Alex really well, and I just kind of know how he thinks. I think he's going to go out there and go get him. I think the Braves are a better team than the Phillies. For me, they're a club that can compete. The problem is for the Mets is the Mets have a formidable owner who's in his first full year. And George, I guarantee you he's in the background pushing his group because he wants to win.
Sure he does.
In his first season. And you know, a motivated owner helps the general manager get things done. And there's some really good players on the market. One last thing, George, one thing that I've done in my career, when your offense is sputtering and you can't get the bat that you want, and there's all sorts of rumors about Chris Bryant and other guys, what I've done in the past successfully is improve my pitching. Because if you can't score more runs, try to suppress the other team's offense to put less pressure on your offense to go forward. So I think with the Braves, you know, they're going to get Yona back very soon. D'Arnold's coming back. So they're going to get better. But I think both teams are going to be really active. We already know the Phillies tried to make a deal for Tyler Anderson. I don't think he's a race changer in a playoff situation. But I think you're going to have a couple clubs right here going at it. And one thing we've harped on hard, George, and I think it's very clear, this is a race for a division title. There is no wild card possibility in the NL East because the three NL West clubs are all going to get in. It's going to be a game of musical chairs as the rest of the season goes forward. But those two non-winners will go in. It might be the greatest wild card game of all time, but to get in this year, you've got to win the division. And as you said, I think the Metsies are very, very gettable. And one other thing, George, you know, the Braves just went through a tough stretch. They had the Rays, the Pods, the Phils, and the Mets for 12 games.
And they've lived to tell about it. Yeah.
6-6. And, George, I tell you what, a week ago, I thought if they go something like 4-8, 3-9, they're done. Instead, they rebounded, and now with the teams coming up, they've got a chance to make some headway, and I think it's there to be had. Sometimes it's a gut feel, and George, you know, one game out of 162, but yeah, you nailed it. Huge difference between 4-6. If I'm Alex, I'm all in. I'm pushing my chips in. I'm going after them.
Okay, I need a one-minute answer to this. Dansby Swanson playing great defense. I grant you that. Terrific defense. He's got, I don't know, 17 homers, 18 homers, which for shortstop is very impressive. But Danny, he's got a .230 batting average and the third worst strikeout ratio in the National League. That's ridiculous. He's not a power hitter.
Yeah, he's had kind of an odd year, George, but I'll tell you what, that play he made the other night saved the ball game.
I mean, unbelievable.
That was an incredible play, the ball that was left. It was hit, I think it was 108 miles an hour off the bat head. And you make that play, I mean, that's bigger than a two-hit game. I think the problem they've got is they can't replace him with anybody at short who's significantly better. They're not a game under 500 because of Dansby Swanson. They're a game under 500 because as a collective unit, they have just not swung the bat well enough. They've got a chance. They've done it in the past. George, I would not be surprised for them to get hot, just like I thought Freeman would get hot and did.
Danny, great info to start this. Watson and Terry are sitting in the on-deck circle. Terry's dying to have you trade the free world to the Yankees. Oh, my goodness. Is that a Yankee shirt?
No, it's a softball shirt.
Okay, thank you.
From back in the day.
For if it had been a Yankee shirt, you'd be out of here.
My shorts are Yankee shorts.
Get them out of here. Okay, round two with Danny is coming up next on the Plaster Radio Network.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel is serving up new summer hours and a fantastic summer menu. Open Thursday through Sunday from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel is the only place downtown for breakfast or lunch. Start your day with a hearty steak and eggs and deviled egg toast, or you can lunch on smoked prime rib or shrimp and grits. Open Thursday through Sunday from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Kitchen Notes, located 5th Avenue, downtown in the Omni Nashville Hotel.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
When was the last time you did something fun with family, friends, coworkers, and clients? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers affordable entertainment for all ages? That's what you'll find at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers in Donelson, Hermitage, Tusculum, Hendersonville, and Murfreesboro with bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville or Murfreesboro where they feature additional fun with bumper cars, laser tag, roller skating, and more. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit online at strikeandspare.com. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now. Or the puppy gets it.
That's good music right there. Yeah, 323 as we welcome all of you back. Former Dodger General Manager Danny Evans, his weekly visit, always great stuff, but with the trade deadline looming, it gets even intensified from that. Watson, what do you got for Danny?
Danny, to me, this is, if I'm in your business, it looks like this would be one of the most exciting times in the year. In my business, you get this late in the year or past halfway or whatever, and you can't, what you have is what you got. You can't change anything in college football. And you've probably had injuries or whatever, but you can't do anything. In your business, what a neat time that you get a chance, and first you're excited that you're in the run to make some hay, or you wouldn't be looking. But just talk about that a little bit. To me, that would be the most exciting time in the world. I mean, even more, I know you build your team in the all year, and that's neat. Just mindsets and, okay, here's what we got to do, and here's, but you get to now and you can get these quick fixes. And you get to look all over the league. That, to me, would be really exciting.
No, Watson, great point. Hey, if I could just say something. I think Scherzer is going to be traded in the next hour or so, and it looks like it's the Padres or the Dodgers, with the Padres slightly in the lead, according to a friend of mine. So, Watson, to respond, when I first started more than 40 years ago, the trade deadline was June 15th, and it was disarming, because from June 15th forward, you couldn't do anything, and it was too early in the season. Now they've added two wild cards since I've, you know, started my career. And now this July 30th deadline is very different than it's been in the past, in that you can't make any more trades except for waiver transactions from tomorrow at 3:00 Central Time forward. So remember when guys, Watson, used to slip through waivers because of their contracts, and then you'd be able to make a trade?
Yeah.
You can't do that anymore. So as you said, this is a really invigorating time for a front office. It's a bit of a come-to-Jesus time for other front offices, because you portray yourself as a contender, but the game tells you you're not. And the game is, you know, it's a slap in the face saying, no, you're not one of the 15 or 16 teams that are in. For a front office, for the scouting staff, you know, I think for the fan base and sometimes for the owner, it's an exciting time. But here's the problem, Watson. And, you know, just think about this. You've been in a personnel mode. From tomorrow forward, if anybody goes down, anybody gets hurt, anybody struggles, you're stuck. This is your club, and this is your club between now and your last out of the season. I always enjoyed that because I looked in the mirror and thought, okay, where do I feel we're soft? Where is our Achilles heel? Who might go down? And if so, how do we supplant an injury? The other part of it is this, Watson, and I think it's really exciting, is you're balancing six or seven things at a time. I'm a whiteboard guy, so I'd always write them down, and I'd erase, and I'd put new names up, and I constantly look at the board trying to figure out which deal is the best, but also prioritizing what you're trying to do because you get emotional. I made one trade about 20 seconds before the deadline once, and it was only because I looked at the board and I realized I wanted a second left-hander. This guy threw a guy at me, and I thought, hey, I'll take the lefty. Let's go. I didn't give anything up. Turned out to be one of the biggest moves I made that year, and it was strictly a last 40 seconds of the deadline deal. So this is not only exciting, it's pressure-packed, but there's a reality check. Watson, at the conclusion of the deadline, less than 24 hours from now, you know this is your club. And, you know, for some people who don't live in reality very well, that can be an alarming recognition of, wow, we're really soft in this area and you can't do anything about it.
Hey, Watson?
Yeah.
It's a lot more exhilarating if you get Max Scherzer.
That does help. Oh. Dodgers get a hold of him, or even the Padres. Jeez, George.
Oh, the Padres. Hey, that's their little signal to the Dodgers. You don't have Trevor Bauer. We got Max Scherzer.
Oh,
well, and George, let's think this through now. He pitched today, okay? He threw really well. He allowed one run over six, got the W. He's a 10-5 guy at the end of a seven-year, $210 million deal. That 10-5 deal, and for the listeners, that means he's spent 10 years in the big leagues, the last five of which are with the same club. He gets the right to reject or accept the deal. So he's got to approve it. Because of that, my guess, he's traded today because all of that paperwork, those documents, have to get into the league tomorrow before the 3 o'clock Central Time deadline. So I think what we're going to see, my guess, A.J. Preller is one of my proteges, worked for me. I'm guessing the Preller sees the Pods as a likely wild card team. That's a one-game winner-take-all.
Mm-hmm.
I've been involved in that game twice, and it's crazy. My guess is he wants Scherzer or someone like Scherzer to pitch that game to get them in to the next five-game series. He doesn't want to face Scherzer if it's the Giants, if it's the Dodgers. So this gives him a better chance of advancing instead of the one-game crapshoot. That's why I think that's where he's going to go.
Boy, that's a great point. Watson, take it away.
Staying on this trade line right here now and the exciting time of it, how far back do you start preparing for this? And second of all, you know me, I love to find the ins and outs of what you do. How many people are involved in this? Does the coach get involved? I know the owner would have to be. Are the scouts involved? And how do you have these meetings? Is it when they're just in town and they're in a home series, or do you get everybody when they're on the road? Talk just a little bit about how far it starts back and who all's involved in the final decision-making.
Oh, Watson, terrific question. The process is really the difference maker. The better general managers with better processes, better communicators, better staff, they tend to win the deadline. You can really see the disorganized ones, and you can see the ones who don't have a lot of respect for their staff because they do a lot of knee-jerk reactions. For me, and I can only say what I've been involved in, And I can say, you know, I've been in the room. I've been in the room for, you know, 35, 40 years of this. I think the best general managers get together with their group sometime around the first week of June, and they confront where they are as a club. Are we a buyer? Are we a seller? Are we on the fence? And if so, if we're on the fence, what has to take place in the next 2 months in order for me to feel like my chips are in? Because as you guys know, taking emotion out always makes more prudent decision making, because you're not just wrenching after wins and losses. You know, George said earlier about that win today for the Bravos. That win today for the Braves is a strategic win when it comes to decision. Who's involved? Well, the scouts, the best scouts in your organization are out there. What I always did, which is a little trick that I learned from a great GM, was go scout your organization first and have it somebody who's not affiliated with the draft or player development. Basically say who you'd move and who you wouldn't, and have a couple people do that and make them people that carry a lot of weight with the general manager. Yeah. Then your front office staff is involved, Watson. It's people who know contracts, probably your pro scouting director, which didn't exist 20 years ago. I was the first guy to start that. I'm glad I did. Made me more prepared. That person's job is to be obsessive about the teams that you're involved with, knowing when they're going to pitch, injuries, all sorts of issues about service and salary time. The owner gets involved if the owner is an involved owner. But regardless, you're talking money. So that guy, that woman is always going to be involved. And the smart thing to do is to have either a text chain or have some sort of an email chain, so everybody out in the field, because half of your people aren't even with you. They're external. They're looking at these players. I heard today Scherzer had a number of scouts at that start. And the funny thing, Watson, you go to that game, you know who's after Scherzer if you're one of those clubs, because you go there and you go, oh my gosh, there's nine teams here. You report that back to your general manager. But here's the last thing. What I did, and I did it strategically, I always had my top media relations people in the room. So they were there to listen, understand what the strategy was. So if a media person was looking for some help or had a story, that media person could keep them on the straight, keep them, you know, within the rails, but also help the media people so they didn't make a mistake and go a direction that doesn't exist. Now, I know that's out of the norm, but I always thought it was the best way to keep your media people in a good place. But it is exciting as heck. You find out who has the ear of the general manager, because you, and especially as the GM, you hear filtered voices at times in the last 45 minutes. And the funniest thing, and I think the listeners will really enjoy this, there's somebody in the room watching MLB trade rumors and monitoring both MLB Network, ESPN, and monitoring Twitter to know what's going on a minute-by-minute basis, because you're only as good as the information you have.
It's amazing to me, Danny, that the good ones, it's organized. And I just don't think people understand sometimes in the athletic world, if you're not organized from top to bottom, Danny, if then you get into these quick decisions like this when it comes down to this, and you've got to make those. But it's also interesting to me that there's always got to be one guy that makes the call. And you've got to have all that help, but one guy's got to make those calls. Am I right or wrong about that?
Yeah, it's so right. And Watson, you've got to know that beforehand. Like when I went to the Dodgers, I said, I've got to be that guy to the owner. I'll keep you aware, but I won't do anything monetarily without you being involved, but I need to make the last call. A fun, quick story, George, I'm guessing you're up against the break, but I had a deadline one year where I had two guys on hold, and they both fulfilled what we were looking for. And the whole room was kind of waiting for me to take the call. And I'm looking at my whiteboard and I'm thinking, okay, I would rather have A than B. And I punched in A and I said, hey, I said, listen, I know we're close to the deadline. Your guy's the guy I want. What would it take to get him? And he said to me, wow, be direct. I said, well, I got news for you. If you don't get a deal with me on this, I'm turning to plan B and he's on hold. And he said to me, he goes, oh my God, okay. So we got a deal. And then I came back to the other guy and I said, listen, I'm sorry, but I valued your guy as plan B. And subsequently, we couldn't be made. Watson, one of the key things is these are your peers. You've got to honor two things. You've got to honor the confidentiality. You can't be chirping to the media and other people about who is involved because that can be absolutely devastating to a franchise. And B, you've got to be communicative quickly to your peers if you go a different direction so you don't hang them out to dry unless, of course, you're battling with them for a playoff spot. And then strategically, you might have to take a little time to get back to them.
Well, and to me, Danny, that's why, and George, I know you're, I'll hear the music, but to me, Danny, that's why it's such a neat time of the year in your business with all this going down and all the different people that get involved.
Okay, hold on to all of that. Terry's in the on-deck circle, and he's trying to get Danny to trade half the free world to the Yankees. He's not happy about Joey Gallo. He wants improvement, and he wants it now. Starting to act like George Steinbrenner. Anyway, enough of all that. This is the Plaster Radio Network.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is. And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using GetUpside, the free gas app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the GetUpside app?
Yes, up to 25 cents a gallon, cash back every time I buy gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
Some months I make 200 to 300 bucks.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free GetUpside app now.
Download the free GetUpside app now in the App Store or Google Play to save up to 25 cents a gallon when you buy gas. Use promo code MOVE for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's up to 50 cents a gallon on your next fill-up. You can cash out anytime to PayPal or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code MOVE for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code MOVE.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
Hey, this is George Plaster to talk to you about the folks at Shield Law Group. My guess is that some of you are like I have been at some point. You've got debt, and that's holding you back. Maybe you're ready to get back on the right track, buy a house, a car. In general, put bad financial decisions aside. And that's where these folks can really help you. They're local. They're accessible. When you need them, they'll be there for you. And they'll give you a free assessment. The beauty of Shield Law Group, they have a way of negotiating settlements that potentially could save you thousands of dollars and improve your credit rating. And 30 years of experience means they can probably help you. So give them a holler at 615-742-8020. That's 615-742-8020. And ask for my friend, Bill Kalutis.
If you're looking to turn the corner in 2021 in a new job with a family-owned business that believes the best way to serve customers is by taking care of its employees first, let me tell you about Goggin Cold Haul. Goggin Cold Haul operates within a 500-mile radius of its Smyrna base and seeks professional drivers to join its team with a $1,000 sign-on bonus. There's weekly home time with no northeast travel and no-touch freight with our late-model Freightliner and Kenworth trucks. A new beginning awaits you in 2021 at Goggin Cold Haul, the coldest team in town.
The new book by Randy Travis, a memoir of music, faith, and braving the storms of life, is now available.
Forever and ever, amen.
And this Saturday at the Omni Nashville Hotel from 1 to 3 p.m., Randy Travis will be live at the 5 and 10 store, signing copies of his new book,
Forever and ever, amen.
.342 Terry, who is it you're trying to get all of a sudden?
Well, Ted Williams is not available.
Right. Babe Ruth not coming back through
the door. I really don't know.
Reggie?
Reggie would be nice.
Uh-huh.
You know.
How about Mr. May? Mr. Winfield.
Yes.
Wasn't that what Steinbrenner?
Yes, Dave
Winfield. Nicknamed him Mr. May?
Yeah, I don't know that he would be welcome back, although he was a heck of a player. He got a bad rap from George.
Yeah, that didn't go over real well.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have questions for Danny. Let's see what you got.
I do. Danny, I know my son, who's also a Yankee fan like I am, he's very excited about Joey Gallo coming to hit off the short porch. He thinks he's the second coming of Roger Maris with his power. I think he might be more the second coming of Steve Whitaker. But I think he hits from the left side, but I think he's another guy that has trouble making contact. And I just don't know that the Yankees really need another bat like that in their lineup that, doesn't put the ball in play enough.
And they're going to have a lot of swing and miss in that lineup now with those three guys, but you know what, Taren? That club has struggled so bad from the left side that as a result, right-handed pitching has really dominated them. Their left-handed hitters are hitting under 200 this year. And, I know they got beat today, but it's one game. It doesn't matter. But Gallo is not just for this year. They have him under control for next year, too. They're going to be a very formidable lineup. I still think they're a flawed club. I still think they're on the outside looking in, but they've got a shot if Gallo swings the bat. And one thing about Gallo, Terry, he's a real good two-way player.
He's a good defender.
Yeah. And as a result, he's a high walk guy. He's almost a 20% walk rate, which is extraordinary, which elongates innings, which really helps get deeper into the bullpen. This guy gets hot over the last 60 games of the season. He could make a really big difference on this ball club.
And kind of piggybacking off of that, when I thought of, them going out and getting a guy like Gallo and adding, another power hitter, I got to thinking going back into the 80s and the 90s, about guys like, say, Kevin Seitzer or Pat Tabler, Dave Magan, and guys who could wake up at 3 a.m. and go hit a line drive in the gap. They didn't have a whole lot of home run power, but they were called professional hitters, and they would always hit 290, 310, something like that, every year. And they would spray the ball around, put it in play. Are we seeing those guys, are they becoming dinosaurs, those types of players around Major League Baseball?
Well, they've never been in abundance. That's the thing. I think you've got one of the best ones in LeMahieu. He hits the ball to all fields, makes great contact, can really let the ball get deep on him. For me, one of the best hitters in the game, and I think you should be really happy you got a guy like him. But those guys are harder and harder to find, somewhat because of the pitching styles against them, somewhat because people are trying to elevate the baseball, and as a result, a flatter bat path isn't quite as, I would say, exciting for a lot of guys. But one thing about the Yankees is that they've got the resources in terms of minor league players to move. They're being creative when it comes to payroll. Terry, they're trying to take on players without adding money and asking the other club, hey, if you can pick up the salary, we'll give you better players in return. I saw a couple clubs balking at that today, and I thought to myself, they really don't understand today's game. I mean, you don't want to be in the luxury tax. So you're already, you know, budgeted to pay for this guy, pay for him, and get even better players back. Some teams just don't get it. Texas did. They made a good trade for Gallo.
You know, I want to go back to the rocker thing that George brought up at the top of the hour. You know, with the timeline of the end of the College World Series and the draft, and it used to be take place during the College World Series, but I know that NFL teams, when they go to draft prospects and they have guys, you know, there's about a 3 to 4 month process that they go through, even after, you know, the college season is over, you know, before the draft begins, where they're blanketing everybody. They know if you got a detention in math class your sophomore year of high school, as well as if you have a shoulder problem or something like that. What type of, I guess, system does baseball have in place for evaluating players? Because it certainly is not the same timeline that football has to evaluate these prospects before they decide to pull the trigger on them.
No, and basketball and football have a different calendar, and that really helps them given the collegiate season. You know, the kids can't go back to school and then decide to sign. So it's a, you know, it's just different. What you have is you can process physicals and medical information prior to the draft. Most teams take their medical advisor, their team doctor, and they process over 500 potential draft picks looking for red flags. In this case, what I heard in the last couple days was that Rocker did not share his physicals and his MRIs. So as a result, there might have been a gray area when it came to teams considering his draft status and his health situation. Other things that go on is you can interact with the player. You can have them come to your city and talk to them. The problem with all this, though, Terry, is until you really get an MRI done, with today's technology, you really don't know what you have. And the difference between baseball and the other sports is our defense initiates the action. And that pitcher is doing a very, I would say, out of the ordinary mechanical move. There's a lot of wear and tear on pitchers. And because they're the whole game, you've got to make sure that you've got a guy on there if you're going to give him $6 million who you think is not going to break down because of structural issues in the first couple of years.
Tony in Nolensville, I got about 2.5 minutes. Do your best.
George, thank you for taking my call. Danny, it's always good talking to you again.
What's up, Tom?
Terry just alluded to what I was going to ask about the Rocker situation. With him going from the preseason number one and then throughout the year and then going at number 10 on his draft pick, it seems to me that the other nine teams had to have known something for him to drop down that much. And I think you just answered that by answering Terry's question. And I just feel that way, but you know, it's going to be it's a precarious situation, and let's all hope for Rocker and for the player, you know, everything turns out great. One other thing, Danny, I want to talk about is obviously I'm a Cubs man, and they are a dumpster fire right now. But watching them the last four games against Cincinnati, I do not believe there's a hotter player in the National League than Votto. He hit a home run again today. And his last eight hits up to that point were all home runs, and he's hit eight home runs in six games. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think he's just set a club record today, and I think your Cubbies, you're going to see three of your Cubs traded before tomorrow afternoon between Bryant, Rizzo, and Kimbrel, and I think they're all going to be gone.
Well, that's I wish someone would pick up Baez, but anyway, Danny, I appreciate it. George, thank you for taking my call, and let's see how this all turns out. And, George, your Braves are looking pretty good, buddy.
Hey, Tony, I see Baez going to the Reds, and he and Amir Garrett will break bread all again.
Right. they can work their differences out.
Hey, talk to you guys. Later.
Bye-bye.
Danny? Leave me with this. I got 20 seconds. Give me a name you think will be traded that nobody's rumoring.
I would say Whit Merrifield of Kansas City.
Ooh.
And I think that Baez situation might be a dinner cruise if he were to go out there with Amir Garrett. That could be a very interesting. He could row his boat out there.
See you later. Great stuff.
Have a good one, guys. Enjoy.
Guess what we're going to do?